Hey, this is Kat Kahn from Knoxville, Tennessee.
And Tanya Rice from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We are grateful you've joined us.
And we cannot wait to share with you.
The musings of a couple of yogis.
We hope you learn, laugh, and enjoy
And we hope you will share with us.
any of your comments or questions.
Without further ado, this is Two Pittas on a Pod.
I forgot my microphone at the office in all the running back and forward because I have to pack my bag up, pack it up, pack my computer, pack my. It's annoying.
Well, maybe you need to think about minimalism.
Unpacking my bag. Aren't you just a smart ass? So, hey, Kat, how are you?
I'm great.
What are we talking about today? You giving us a hint?
We are talking about minimalism, and I'm really pretty excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad that we chose this topic because I think that no matter what degree of minimalism you decide to take, I feel like it is effective for everybody.
I read somewhere that minimalism is yoga for your whole life. I wish I could remember where I read it, but I was like, that's great.
That is perfect. Because
Yeah.
if you think about it in truth, regardless of whether it is simply one closet or even one drawer, you know how after you clean it out, how I was gonna swear. You know how you feel. Like it feels great. And so visualize if you could start to make just a life pattern of it.
Well, and I was thinking about minimalism, thinking about how it's not even just clearing out crap that you have in your closets or in your drawers and your cars and your desk, but it's clearing out and making room in your mind, clearing up your life and getting rid of all that shit that we carry around. And as we were talking about before we logged on, all that backpack full of crap that we haul around with us every single day.
Yeah, so it's even minimizing, the stuff that's in your heart, like, right? And we know this to be true because, and this is a segue to our heart chakra, but those of us who are caretaking everybody else, I mean, like right there, we've depleted our own heart space because we're spending so much time here. I got to make room for this person in my heart and this person in my heart and this person in my heart. And it's not that you can't love everybody, but, be wise about how you deplete your own
Resource.
self. Yeah.
Well, because you want to fill that time with stuff that's of true value. Before I moved to Tennessee, I was really big into volunteerism in Texas. I worked full time, but I still spent about 20 hours a week volunteering, and it was so rewarding. But I had so much good stuff I was doing that it was just killing me. So
Yeah.
even some of the good stuff, you've got to prioritize and decide, is this really where I want to have my life going?
Yeah.
No.
Well, and there's a lot of truth to that. So let's start with defining what minimalism is, because some of our listeners are like, well, okay, where are we gonna go with this conversation? So minimalism, as it's defined, is really trying to pay attention, live with, or have less. And not less joy or less happiness, but less commitment, less stress, less anxiety, less fear, less of the things that overwhelm you.
Less bad habits, less bad relationships. And I never really, I was trying to remember. I don't think I really heard about minimalism until Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo was cutting edge when it comes to organizing and minimalizing, tidying your house. It's also like Josh Melbourne and Ryan Nicodemus from The Minimalists, and they have a podcast, they have a Netflix documentary and books out. And then I know the gentleman who wrote 10% Happier is also along the lines of minimalism. And then there's also the gal who did Project 333, which is also really cool too. But minimalism, as it stands, like for you and I, and how it applies to us, because we're always talking about yoga and its philosophy, and really minimalism is a yogic or spiritual path. You think about monks and their three robes, their one cushion, their 8x8 room, living in an ashram, they're living as minimal as you possibly could be, and quite joyful and spirited in their life. It comes out of the book that I just finished, The Way of the Monk.
Right.
That same theory. And then also, if you think about it in terms of like Kundalini and the energy that we talk about in our body, right? Mm-hmm. It's that really powerful sense of single focus, as opposed to having to focus on all of this and all of that and everything that's over there and that, like, right? Our energy gets depleted when we have too much, whether it's physical things, mental projects, spiritual projects, you know, emotional projects. It's just too much.
Well, it goes hand in hand with yoga because, you know, in yoga, we encourage people to let go of things that no longer serve them and to not obsess about things that are out of our control. You know, how many times do we run around worrying about things that they're not even ours to worry about? I have some things that I worry about. There's nothing I can do about it. So stop, throw it away, put it on the shelf. It's just, it's amazing to me how we carry that kind of crap around too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it goes back to that whole draw that circle around yourself with your hands and the length of your arms, right? And if it doesn't fit within this circle, do you really need it? Like,
let it go.
Unpack that shit. I give you permission to donate it, burn it, do whatever you need to do, throw it in the dumpster, get rid of that.
But, you know, I have to say, speaking of the donated and throwing it in the dumpster, my mother is not a hoarder. She's not a pack rat. She's got a beautiful house, but she's always wanting me to come over and help her clean out her closet. And the last time I did that, and she does this about every 3 months. The last time I did that with her, we took all this stuff out. We were going to take it to Goodwill. When I went back 2 months ago, we were cleaning out the same stuff. As soon as I leave, she puts it back in the closet. She asked me again today if I would please come. She's ready to get rid of it. I said, I will come, but we have to throw it in a bag and I will take it to Goodwill. I'm not leaving it in the house. Well, I might want to wash stuff. And I'm like, if it's hanging in your closet, it's probably clean, right? She has stuff with tags on it because it was on sale and it might fit at some future date. So, mm-hmm. You know, when I walk in my closet and I see crap like that, it's almost a burden when I look at the clothes or the things in there that I don't like, or maybe they have a bad memory attached to them, or maybe I bought it because I thought, well, I'm, you know, working out so much now, this will fit in 1 week.
Well, so as long as we're talking about clothes, let's roll with this for a minute, because this is how it got started for me, right? Okay, so you know from the story of me that John and I 2 years ago downsized.
Right.
Our kids were moving out. We felt really excited. We were like, less house, less money, less cleaning, less everything. Let's downsize. And it came out of a place of minimalism. I had been listening to the Minimalist podcast. I really enjoyed it. I had done a great job of cleaning out, you know, closets one at a time, but I'd never done the like packing party that they coined as the packing party. And when I listened to that episode, I was like, oh my gosh, I kind of got this like thinking in my brain as I sat in my house. And I just all of a sudden started rifling through cabinets, and John's like, what's happening right now? And I'm like, do you realize how many sets of dishes we have? I flew off the handle. I'm like, we have a set of Christmas dishes, a set of crystal dishes, a set of china dishes, a set of regular dishes, a set of outside dishes. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, we can't possibly eat off of all of these dishes at any one time. Like, we don't even have enough friends to eat off all of our plates. Why do we have all of this stuff?
Well, and what's a packing party before you continue? Because I have no idea what a packing party
is. Okay, so Josh Milbourne and Ryan Nicodemus, the minimalists, coined the phrase a packing party, where you literally dedicate a day where you go through your whole house and you pack it up, and it is packed up in that sense of what's being kept because it has meaning and resonates with me and makes a difference in my life, or donate or toss, right? And that packing party is designed that you can potentially invite a non-biased person who's going to be that person who's going to actually take it away so that it doesn't go back into your closet. So the next time you help your mom, you say, there you go. Now I'm putting them in my car and I will take them to donate them, right? So that they don't creep back in, right? Yeah. And, you know, when I first was listening to it, I was like, oh gosh, like I was coming at it from a different standpoint. And now I've got my yoga journey and the philosophy that I'm learning and, you know, the term that we're going to toss around here soon, aparigraha, and that mentality of why do I have all of this stuff? Like, do I feel better by having it? Like, what is it that made me want it in the first place? And I kind of spent a lot of time really pondering it. And it's, you know, something that they talk about in their book and in their literature about that capitalistic world that we live in. And, you know, us in our generation, we're coming out of parents and grandparents who lived with less, who came out of the Depression, who wanted nothing more for their children than for us to have more than they ever had. Like, we were bred that way. We right. want you to succeed. We want you to have more money than we do. We want you to have this. We want you to have that. We don't want you to ever have to worry about money. So we as young people learned early that we wanted to amass the more we could amass. If a two-car house was great, we wanted three cars. If a two-car garage was good, we wanted three cars, right? Like, that was the mentality we grew up on. And it's not that our parents did anything wrong. It's just that's where their perception was coming from, was out of a place of scarcity. And they wanted nothing more for us than for us to never have to feel scarce. But in doing so, I know that that's where a lot of it came from. I was that same sort of theory that your mom had is, you know, well, but what if I get thinner, you know, in a few months, then I'm going to want that stuff. And it's like, you know, Josh and Ryan suggest in their podcast is they have like a rule, and I would never be able to quote it perfectly, but so go listen to them if you're really interested. But they have like this like recipe, like if you could replace it for $20, if you could replace it in 20 minutes, or if you could find something else to replace it with, then you don't need it. And in that whole theory about, well, what if I lose weight and then I could fit into these clothes? If it was one size, sure. But if you have a box of this size and then a box of this size and then a box of this size, like, get rid of that. And if you do lose the weight, congratulate yourself with something new, because yes. half that stuff is probably outdated and doesn't look good anyways.
Yeah. Oh, my mom still got pantsuits from the 80s. And I said, no, people don't wear pants, Mom. She's like, no, but I looked really good. I said, yes, you did. And you've got those memories.
And pictures probably somewhere. Right? Like, that's a picture says a thousand things. So anyway, I think it's interesting to, you know, kind of think about it as when we moved, John and my's closet went from 8x22. Yeah. So my closet like literally shrunk by a third. And so as long as we're talking about clothing and closets, talking about some tools. So have you ever heard of the take all of your clothes and turn them so that the hangers are pointed hook out? You know, usually you hang them hook in, right?
Right.
Take your whole closet and turn everything hook out and put a little post-it 1 year from now. And in a year, go and look. And anything that is still hook out, get rid of. Because if you didn't wear it at all last year, you're certainly not going to wear it next year.
That is brilliant. I love that. I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to pour a big glass of wine and I'm going to do that tonight.
Flip them all around. It's really crazy because by the time next year comes around, you're going to be like, that whole section over there, I never wore any of it. Why is it still hanging there?
Yep, exactly.
Because you go in there and you look at it and you're like, oh, I wish I was thin enough to wear that. So it's now body image. It's tack on yourself. It's awful. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
So true. But if you're really, really wanting to go hardcore, I suggest you listen to Project 333, where she talks about capsules. And so each season, you're allowed a capsule of clothing, and in that, 33 items. So spring, 33 items. Summer, 33 items. I did something similar, and I, you know, looked at my closet, and I was like, wow, Tanya, how many sweaters can you possibly have? Like, if you have more than 30, you're not going to wear sweaters, a different sweater, every day for the entire month. You usually go for the same stuff on occasion.
But you live in Minnesota.
Okay, I do. But even still, there was at least 8 sweaters hanging up there that I haven't worn because it just doesn't lay right. It's not the right color. It just doesn't. So yeah. if it doesn't fill all the boxes, why are we still keeping it?
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Okay. That's my thing. And, you know, I've done it with all of my stuff now, even my books. Every once in a while, I will go through my books and I will be like, yep, I have read this. I got what I needed out of it, and now I can donate it to someone else who maybe needs it or needs to get something out of it. Now, obviously, I still have stacks of books, but I guarantee you that if you pull any of these books out, all of them have been tabbed or highlighted. I use these regularly. The ones that I don't, they sit on a shelf in the closet, and every once in a while, I throw them in a box and I donate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true, true. I've got books all over the place, and I don't highlight and tab all of mine. Some of them, I don't like to mess them up, and so I read them carefully. I know, but I've got some that are so dog-eared that, and some that the spines are ripping out.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I don't know, got my own little weird things about different kinds of books that I can't have to have them perfect.
Yeah. Well, and so that kind of stands to reason, right? So if there are things that you do love, then you don't need to minimalize those things, but minimalize the things that are burdening you, the things that make you stressed. Oh gosh, we have so many dishes left to do tonight because there's just, you know, not enough time. Well, then minimalize. What are the things that you can let go of that you're not attached to? Most of us have closets full of stuff that we haven't looked at in a long time.
Well, and you can take small bites.
Small bites.
You don't have to do the whole house at one time. You can start with just your desk, you know, just your workspace. Maybe move to your closet. You know, the closet definitely, for most people, takes a little bit longer because there's a lot of trying on. There's a lot of remembering. But, you know, another thing that it takes a little longer to do is clearing out our thoughts. You know, we have a lot of negativity that we just keep reinforcing within ourselves. So the best way that I know, and I was trying to see if I could find it anywhere. I'm sure someone else talked about it, but I didn't find anything on it. But just journaling the crap out of your head, because, you know, I'm all about journaling. But if you just journal that crap out, and then at the end of your have a journal and just put everything crappy thing you can think of or anything you're worried about. At the end of the year, go burn it. Have you a little bonfire? Just burn that crap.
So I took your advice because you had said to me, you know, I had told you that I had started journaling every day in the morning, right before I start my workday, and that I've been putting in there my gratitudes, my intentions, and everything I listed to you was on the positive side. And you're like, well, how and when do you get rid of the bad stuff? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And you're like, well, you need to start with the bad stuff first. So I took heed. And so now I have been doing the bad stuff first. Then I put in the gratitudes, the intentions, and it really has been kind of purging. Like I was like, oh, look at that. Like I just put that out there and it's done and it's over. And now I don't need to think about it for the rest of the day.
You know, I wish our listeners could see me going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
I took your advice and it was working.
That is awesome. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges for any of the stuff, even the negative stuff that we journal about, is a lot of them are parts of ourselves that we don't want to just let go of, because a lot of the really shitty stuff is stuff that we just want to hold on to, not that we want to wallow in victimhood. In fact, we should even do a whole podcast on victimhood.
Oh, 100%. But as you say, some of it's not just wallowing in victimhood, but it's a badge of honor. I came through this. Right? I'm a cancer survivor. I'm this, I'm that, right? Like we want to wear it as our, like you think to, you know, the brownies or the Girl Scouts and their little badges, right? Like it's our vest of all our badges.
Yeah. Well, and we just have to remember to hold on to the memories and not the things.
The things, right? Okay. And it's really true though, because as we talk about that backpack of stuff, like, right. And each of us does. And we've talked about this on other episodes where if you're, you know, packing for a trip, how many of us are overpackers? We all do, because we're like, well, what if this and what if that? And if you could remove what if from your language, your packing would go so much better. It just is what it is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's not Monday, Monday morning, Monday evening, Monday, what if? You know, it's Monday.
You know, if I ran my life the way I pack for travel, I would be a huge minimalist. Because we have the Twisted Sisters Travel, I have gotten packing down. I can take one small little overhead bag to go to Europe for a week. Not, you know, because it's, so that's the only place I have to say that I'm very good at practicing minimalism. A lot of the other places I struggle just a little bit, you know, I want to hold on to all that stuff. I look at so many things just here in my office that I probably could let go of, but they mean something to me, so I'm not going to get rid of them.
It's so funny though, but here, you know, part of that whole language of aparigraha, that's one of our yamas and niyamas, our, you know, 10 commandments of yoga. And the aparigraha is our non-greed and our non-attachment. It's, you know, releasing and relinquishing what doesn't serve us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of it. Like, it's getting rid of baggage, however that looks for you. And most people don't realize that the easiest thing to get rid of first is the stuff that surrounds you, physical stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reason that that then translates into you is that when you feel lighter because of your material attachments, then you feel lighter inside. It gives you a space to live more intentionally. It helps you to feel less attached. You can spend more time living and enjoying your life as opposed to thinking and worrying about where will you buy the next item? What will it cost? How much should I spend? You know, yada, yada, yada. When's that package going to arrive? Like, right? We do that. And it becomes like this little litany of language, right? Like before COVID, I ordered off of Amazon once in a blue moon. Now, every day I check Amazon, when are my packages going to come? Okay. That right there is like anti-minimalism. And it's a new habit that I created out of boredom. Out of what? Like, it's not need.
So what are you ordering? Is this stuff that you normally would go to the store to buy, or you just...
Yeah, it is. If Jonathan and I do the grocery store, I haven't been in a Target, a Walmart, a Kmart, or whatever in 2 years.
Wow. Well, so you're really actually practicing aparigraha, because you're, if you went into Target, you would come out with twice as much stuff as you're on Amazon shopping.
There is some truth to that, because everybody knows how much time you can waste in a store going in with a list of 3 things and coming out with 10 things.
It's harder to end up with a lot of impulse buys on Amazon, I have found.
There is truth in that. So I'll give you that. So thanks. Thanks for that vote, because I needed that. You have just given me reason that it's okay for me to go back on Amazon this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, okay. We digress. Sorry. But part of it is being able to then spend time on the things that you do love, right? And so, like, I go back to Jonathan and I downsizing, right? And so by Jonathan and I downsizing, we don't have to spend as much time cleaning. We cleaned the whole house this last weekend together, him and I, in less than an hour. And that was scrubbing floors and toilets. We did it all in less than an hour. So then that meant that we could go. We lallygagged around. We went shopping for flowers. We dug in the rocks. We played outside. And we were able to do the things that we do love, because we don't have to spend as much time doing the things we don't love.
Right.
And that's really that intentional living.
Yeah, that's perfect, because that is what it's all about, is creating space and time for things that you do want to do.
Yeah. So I know that you read a couple articles. Tell us some of the stuff you learned.
Well, one talked about some of the things that minimalism will do for you. It'll help you have more clear thoughts. We've already kind of discussed that a little bit. It will help you decide what is valuable in your life. And I thought that was pretty cool, because, you know, we fill our world with so much stuff that sometimes things that are the most valuable get lost in the mix.
You use the example of just looking in a closet, or, you know, in a cabinet you haven't been in a while, and you're like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot that was there.
All right. Minimalism can help you simplify your life. Like, I have one calendar that I love, and I put most everything in it. So that's, I'm very good at that. But as a writer, I love journals. When I first started writing all the time, I would have one journal and I would fill it up. Then I would start another one. Now, whichever journal happens to be handy, when I have a thought, that's what I write in. And I spend so much time, and I get mad too, but I spend so much time searching for a piece of writing that I know I've written. I'm looking for one right now. I have no idea if I wrote it on my computer, if I wrote it on my iPad, if I wrote it in a journal upstairs, downstairs. So that kind of stuff you know, getting all of that condensed down would save me a lot of grief. And along that same lines, I mentioned to you, and I don't know that many people know this, I went to military school for high school and I loved it so much. My dad retired from the military and he had a friend whose kids went there. And so my brother and sister and I all went there. And I loved it because we got to wear uniforms. It was so amazing. And I know I have so many friends that are like, oh, I would hate it if there were school uniforms. Oh my gosh, it was so freeing for me because I woke up every day, I knew exactly what I was going to wear. And then whenever we got to wear real clothes at school, it was special. It was really neat. And so that was very important for my high school experience. I mean, I still did cheerleading and stuff like that. I mean, still just, it was a normal school. We just wore uniforms. And it gave us more attention to things that were important, you know, school. Instead of, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so's got the latest this or that. You know, we didn't worry about that. So getting back to that, not that I want to have a uniform, but if you look at a lot of really successful people, they all wear uniforms of some sort.
They have a style that they choose. And, you know, Josh and Ryan talk about that on Minimalist is choose what is your style. Mm-hmm. And then if you know that you're going to be super comfortable in it, you have 5, 6, 7 of those jeans, pants, whatever it is that you choose is your style. And you have 5, 6, 7 of those shirts, and then maybe a couple over shirts for when it's cold or not cold. And, you know, that's now your wardrobe and that's your style, and make it your style. Mm-hmm. And so wherever it is you go, people are like, hey, you wore that yesterday. You're like, no, actually, this is a clean version of what I wore yesterday. But yes, this is my style. This is what I enjoy wearing. This is what fits well on me. This is what looks good on me. How many times have we gone in the closet, put something on, looked in the mirror, and been, oh, I don't like this quite right. And you yank it off and you put on something else. Well, if you spent that time taking it off, put it into a bag to donate it.
Exactly.
Because if you didn't like it today, you're probably not going to like it in another 10 days.
I love that. That's awesome. I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the other things that this lady mentioned in this article, you get to spend more time on things that matter to you when you simplify things, just like you and Jonathan did. You know, you spent 1 hour cleaning the house, then you got to spend time with each other. You do improve your health when you declutter, because when you declutter your space, you tend to naturally choose to eat better and to move your body more. You have more time to focus on things like that. And if you're cleaning your space and your closet, all the knickknacks out of your world, it just makes you want to keep your body clean also. And it just helps to reduce your stress overall. And it makes us happier.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe a little bit of a summation to it, you know, going back to the whole theory of a packing party, or maybe not going so far as doing a packing party, but doing, you know, one room, one drawer, you know, piecemealing it together, but be consistent about it. Like, a lot of times we'll clean one thing and then we'll get busy and we won't do it again for another 6 months. And then by that time, that drawer we just cleaned out is already full again, right? So we have to be a little bit careful. And I think that's why they really glommed on to the packing party, is it's almost like ripping off the band-aid, like do it, get it done with, and then that way you can move forward from it. But, you know, I understand that not everybody can be like, hey, okay, come on over to my house because we're gonna have a packing party, like, right? Like, I get that. But, you know, one of the things that Project 333 talks about is she talks about taking everything out of your closet and everything out of your drawers and putting it onto your bed. And then you see the mound of crap you have, like a little bit of shock and realization, right? And then she says, only put back into your closet what you love, 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 love. Not like kind of like that, or sometimes I like that, right?
I would have like 5 things in my closet.
Yeah. But then think about that. Every day you're wearing what you love, love, love.
I love that.
Yeah. And so it is kind of interesting because you're like, wow. So now, like, I should send you a picture of my closet because I did it again the other day. I was like, why? How do I feel crowded again in my closet? And so I did the same thing. I took everything out and I put it all back in. And my husband's like, how many times do you have to do this? I'm like, as many times as I want, because I can. And now I'm like, look at, I have room on the rod. I have space. I have all of my clothes in one small area. It's amazing. So, okay, but
Yeah, I am not going to show you my closet when you come over here in July. Not doing it. Nope.
So here's the thing. I am a recovering clothesaholic, so I understand. I went from 200 plus pairs of shoes to only about 16 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. I had heels that I was like, well, someday I could wear those one heels with that one dress. Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, it was redefined for me with my knees. I can't do heels anyway. So
yeah.
I gave them all away.
Yeah. Well, you made someone happy.
My daughter.
Yes, think about that, that when we get rid of all this stuff, that someone else is going to be very happy and blessed by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Helps you with that detachment theory, right? A piece of it is, in closing, is a reminder that by getting rid of the stuff in your backpack, the mental backpack, the emotional backpack, the spiritual backpack, all of it, like just figuring out how to lessen your load, however that looks for you, it's going to help you find freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from anything that is overwhelming you in general. And well, what will I wear today? What should I serve them for dinner? You know, like too many choices.
Right.
Without having that need to stand there and decide, the decision's made for you. And it's something, because you already established this, that you love, love, love.
And it creates a more intentional and meaningful life.
More intentional and meaningful life.
So go join me, listeners, and go clean out your closet. And then message Tanya and I and let us know how you did.
Yeah, we want to see pictures. It's like on everybody else's pages. Like, seriously, send us a picture on your Facebook if you clean something out and you're proud of the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see it.
Do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, for sure. Share with us. Two pitches on a pod.
Perfect. I'm Kat Kahn.
And I am Tanya Rice.
And this is Two Pitas
on a Pod signing off.
Thank you for listening to Two Pitas on a Pod. We're grateful you joined us. Join us again for more musings of a couple of yogis.
We hope you learned, laughed, and enjoyed this podcast. And we hope you will share your comments or questions.
Email us at twopitasonapod@gmail.com.
And like us on Facebook and Instagram at Two Pitas on a Pod.